Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Michael Lombardi, former Browns general manager, host of the GM Shuffle podcast. Find him on Twitter at MLombardiNFL. I mean, listening to you rip Doc Rivers and rip the 76ers is it's really just wonderful added entertainment that I never thought I'd find in your podcast. I mean that. I'm not trying to butter you up. I mean that sincerely.
Thank you. You know, I mean, look, coaching's coaching, right? Barkley stole one of my lines last night. I loved it. I was so proud of him. You know, he says either you're coaching it or allowing it to happen. And I think what we see with Doc, one of the frustrations you have is when you're in personnel, you know, you're at the mercy of development from the coaches. And one of the things that I learned from Belichick, I learned this from Coach Walsh, was you got to get the team ready to play at a higher level later in the season. Walsh used to say, we'll lose a couple games in September to win games in January. And that meant he wanted to play some younger players who didn't really know how to play and get them ready. Parcells had a line he called this progress stoppers. When you play a veteran guy who's really not very good, who can't really do anything, but he knows what to do, he stops progress of the young players. So Doc was the classic. He's trying to get in the Hall of Fame. Understandable. It's a highly achievable goal for him. And so the regular season was about winning games. It was never about preparing his team to beat the teams he had to in the playoffs. What young player did I need to get ready? How do I make this team better? Yeah, I'll lose a game to Orlando in January, but it's going to benefit me in April when I have to play the Miami Heat, or I have to play the Boston Celtics. So to me, every sport has the same carryover. Baseball has the minor leagues, which does this, but it's very common in both sports.
So let me ask you this. Is Kevin Stefanski coaching, or is he allowing it to happen?
I think a little bit of both. I think when you look at Kevin, you know, and I like Kevin, and I think Kevin's a smart guy, but I think Kevin has gone down this analytical path too much for my taste. You know, when you go for it on your own 25 on fourth and inches, and all you're going to get, the reward of that decision is three more plays, right? Potentially three more plays. The risk is you're going to give up at least 3 points. And so to me, I think there's got to be some kind of balance and some kind of understanding. I get the sense of being aggressive and being courageous. But as Springsteen once said, I can't tell the difference between my desperation and my courageousness. I think sometimes he falls into that trap. And I think this year he'll be better because I think Jim Schwartz, who was with us in Cleveland, is really good in these areas. And I think he'll be able to help him become a better head coach. You know, we talk about this all the time. You know, the players have to get better. This guy's got to get better. This guy's got to get better. Well, the coach has got to get better too.
Well, let me, because I'm going to throw this by you here, because I don't know if I got a chance to ask you this. Like, it was a dysfunctional defense last year with Joe Woods. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, but let me throw this by you here, is that he's the offensive coordinator, Kevin Stefanski is. But I think that you could tell that maybe he was a little bit in over his head as the season went on. And you bring in a guy like Jim Schwartz, and I'm thinking, does he want to make sure he has a guy who he can leave alone as a defensive coordinator and not have to dig his hands in when he's running his own offense? Is that true, or am I maybe missing the mark there, Michael?
No, I think the opposite. I think by bringing Schwartz in, he'll allow him to understand that football's a three-dimensional game. Okay, back in the early 60s, our government developed an airplane called the F-105. And the F-105 was developed because in Vietnam it could fly the farthest, it could carry heavy bombs, and it flew the fastest. But the problem with the F-105 was it couldn't do all three things at the same time. And it's the same problem most NFL teams have. Offense, defense, and kicking game all have to work at the same time. They have to be in unison. They have to be in concert. And I think Schwartz will allow him to do that, to understand that when you call this play, how this affects the defense, the kicking game. When you make these decisions, how it affects the other two facets of the team. I think that's really, really critical. I think it's an untold story about the NFL. I don't think we discuss it enough. How to play the game, how to work all three phases. Because football is the ultimate team sport. It's never about just one guy. And so it's not just who has the most talent, but whose team plays the most talented. And I think that will help him tremendously. And one thing about Schwartz, when you go through the Browns season last year, you know, they only won two games over the course of that time where, you know, they gave up over 130 yards rushing. You know, they lost seven. They were two of seven in those games. Schwartz's defense is built on making the offense play outside the norm. He's going to stop the run, and then they're going to have to throw the football to be effective. And I think that's going to help them a lot.
Mike Lombardi, join us on the hotline. You're the perfect person to ask a question that I've kind of been wondering about with rumors potentially of the Browns going after, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. They already lost Clowney this offseason, but then got Za'Darius Smith. And so I wondered, is the NFL changing so fast and evolving to where you can do the rental thing in the NFL and win big? We've seen, you know, Tom Brady, a makeshift team, win a Super Bowl in Tampa. Obviously, the Rams, they had some rentals on that team that won the Super Bowl. Or is that something that is just going to be only the right fit in an organization and coach to be able to go that route?
Well, I mean, I think it all depends on your team, right? If, you know, the Browns have gone all in with their quarterback, so they paid him. Most of these teams that have gone all in have paid their quarterback too, so it's hard. And the ripple effect of it is going to carry over. And I think the Hopkins decision for the Browns would be, do we invest 13, 14, 10, I don't know how much it'll cost to get him on a one-year deal where we'll make it look like it's a five-year deal so we can get a better cap number. Do we want to invest that money that we perhaps would have given to a younger player to sign him to a contract extension? I think that there's always give and take. You know, for fans, it's just bring Hopkins in. We want Hopkins. We need him. Yeah, that's good. But now all of a sudden the money we give him, we can't give it. We can't save it and prorate it into next year to give to a young player that we want to sign and develop. And there's got to be a little bit of a balance. What the Rams did is really, you know, they went all in. But they went all in so deep that it's going to take 3 years to get out of it. And same thing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They went all in, and it's going to take – they're just starting now. The Bucs only have four players that they can mess around with to get cap room. Right now they have less than $1 million of cap room, okay? So they're going to need to create more cap room. Do they cut players? Do they trade Devin White? What do? You know, they can't cut Shaq Barrett because it would cost them money to cut him. So they only have four players they can tinker with. Would they trade Mike Evans? He's one of those four. So I think you have to look at that. And then how does it ripple effect on your team down the road? One thing about being the GM of a team today is you got to see the present and a little bit towards the future.
Well, it's complicated though, right? Because the Browns have a desperate fan base. After finishing in last place this year behind the Steelers yet again and wondering when this team is ever going to be able to actually get to a Super Bowl, I don't know that the Browns fans would be that upset if they made a Super Bowl run and then paid the price for that over the course of the next 5 years.
Yeah, I don't think any fan base, you know, I mean, look, I know how passionate it is in Cleveland, and I love the Cleveland fans because they truly love their team. And, you know, they have to show improvement. I think there's no sense, there's no doubt there should be some frustration and lack of progress, especially considering the Steelers were really a kind of a below-level talent team to the Browns last year, but got better as the season wore on and the Browns didn't. So, yeah, I can understand their frustration, and I think you've got to do what's right for the team. You know, it's really more about doing what's right for the team than what's doing right for the fan base. And I think you could really – let's go back to Doc Rivers. You got to ask yourself this question. You know, if we bring Hopkins in, that makes us a better player. But is, you know, the slot receiver, is Elijah Moore better than Hopkins if we give him more reps? You know, now it's easy for the fans to say, well, there's no doubt that. Well, that's really why you have OTA days. That's why you have these practices. You need to evaluate your own team. What's the level of expectation for the player? How well can he play? You know, we always talk about, you know, the impact of free agency and how it's going to make our team better. What makes teams better is the 22 draft and getting those players to play at a better level than they played in 22 and 23. That's the key. Alex Wright, third-round pick in 22. He's got to step his game up. You know, we're counting on him to be a good player. That's the kind of thing we need.
Michael Lombardi joining us from the GM Shuffle podcast. Follow him on Twitter at MLombardiNFL. You know, I don't mean to oversimplify it, Michael, but do I look at callers? Do I say to callers and tweeters who are definitely on the other side of this with Lyman and I go, guys, if he was that great anymore, if he was that elite anymore, would he be free agent? Wouldn't a team have traded for him? Wouldn't they have done it already?
Yeah, well, he had $19 million, so some teams don't want to take on the $19
million. Even with the $19 million, even if we can make the money work.
I think you got to understand there is some concerns about what his influence would be with the younger players. I mean, look, the fans, that question's a fair question to ask, is if he's so good, how come they're just going to dump him and nobody traded for him? And I think you have to peel back a little bit here. If he's so good and if he had great character and if he was great in a locker room, why would the Cardinals just let him go for free? Right? They had a lot of bad years with Larry Fitzgerald. They never let him go. Because Larry Fitzgerald left the locker room. He was really, really a good player. When you have a great player and he's really great in your locker room, you're not getting rid of him. So there's some disconnect here. There is some disconnect here. And I think Hopkins is an interesting player because he's always covered. He's always covered. He doesn't separate from very many people. He doesn't have vertical speed. But what he has is great, great balance. Great balance. He would be a great NBA rebounder. He's got great balance. He's got great eye-hand coordination. And if you throw the ball to him, he wins most of the jump balls, and he converts third downs. But how much are you willing to pay for that? How much are you willing to do that? And then how much will he affect? He left – you know, everybody gave the Texans a lot of crap for trading him for such a little bit, right? 3 years later, he gets cut for nothing. So there is some things here that you got to dig deeper in to understand.
Mike, obviously some other things that happened in the NFL this offseason. The one biggie is Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. We haven't had a chance to talk to you. How big of a factor do you think the Jets will be when all is said and done in the AFC?
You know, I said this on my podcast. I kind of thought it was hilarious because Salah, it was talking about how they're one of the six or eight teams that are ready to compete, you know. And here's a guy that has won 11 games in 2 years. He's only won two NFC East team games in his 2 years. Right, his franchise over the last 5 years ranks 31st in wins with 24. His franchise over the last 10 years ranks 30th with 62 wins. So, like, you don't come from a historical place of winning. This is not an organization that's built on championships. What's fascinating is they haven't been to the playoffs since 2010. What's even more fascinating and probably more frustrating than what Browns fans experience is since they won the Super Bowl in 68, they've only been to the playoffs 13 times. So, like, let's not get ahead of ourselves a little bit. We got to learn how to win. We got to learn how to become a champion. We got to learn to do the things the right way. Aaron Rodgers is a great player, and he's going to make us a better team. But that doesn't guarantee us we're going to make a playoff run. That doesn't guarantee us we're going to be a Super Bowl team. We're going to get everybody's A game. We're going to get everybody's A game. And so we're going to have to be prepared for that. And based on the historical data of your franchise, you've never really experienced this. It takes a lot to get there.
So you would say the same thing about – based on that, you'd say the same thing about the Browns. They are outside of that conversation of 6-8 teams.
Yeah, well, right. No, I think the Browns have the talent. Look, in the last 5 years, the Browns are 19th in the National Football League in wins, right? So they've actually gotten better. Now, over 10 years, they rank 31st in wins because of some of the bad years. But I think they're getting there. I think it's a process. You go, you know, last year they should have won more games than they did. Let's face it. Some of the decision-making that went on really cost them the games. And, you know, they can all hide behind the analytics and say, oh, this was a great move. And, you know, they all walk around. The analytical department says, oh, yeah, this was the right thing to do. Well, you're 7-10. You know, I mean, that ain't good enough, right? And you know, you lose to Pittsburgh and, you know, you can't seem to beat – you dominate – Cincinnati, and then you get beat again by them. So to me, I think they got to get good before they get great. But I think talent-wise, on paper, if Watson – now this is the big if-er, right? Watson's got to play to the level that why they gave up three number ones for him. Because if he doesn't, this trade's going to go down as one of the all-time worst trades and then one of the all-time worst contracts. He can't play anywhere near the way he did last year if the Browns are going to win.
So in less than 60 seconds, this has to be the year for Watson then.
Oh, he's got to show he can do it. There's no question. We can't waste time. I mean, this is our window.
Michael, can't thank you enough for the time. I mean,
thanks,
outstanding
guys,
as always. Thank you. Michael Lombardi. GM Shuffle Podcast, at M Lombardi NFL on Twitter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.